Okay. The Gemara continues in the middle of the Zayin of Beis. It starts with a bit of a tent. Rashi, the language is a little unclear, but what he means to say is that because earlier we had a... a statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yochanan. And where's that part? Amar Shlomo Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav Yonasan, sorry. Pasuk Zeh Shar HaOlam Amru. Nari Yisigam Zakanti. Right, this tangent. Who said Nari Yisigam Zakanti Lo Yisigam Zakanti? Must be the Shar HaOlam. The Shar HaOlam seems to be the chief angel. Man Amra, Ilim Kodji Berichu Mika Zigna Kameh. Hashem Kodji Hand Get Old. Vela David Amra, which is Pasuk Pashat Atat Helam Mikash Kulihai. David didn't get old. He died before he got very old. Elishma mina sar ha'olam amro. It must have been the archangel. Amr Shmuel Achmani Amr Rab Yonasan. May dichsiv yado par sar kol machmadeha. So this is the link to our sugya that is talking about the what. Last time we had the Benos Yerushalayim, that what some goyim decided to capture instead of gold and silver. Here we have the Amnu Moav, Bishash and Ichsul of the Chavim. Who is Yadop Harsal Kol Machmadeh? What are Kol Machmadeh? So the Machmadim of the Jews aren't really gold and silver like you might think. This referring to Amnu Moav, Bishash and Ichsul of the Chavim. Hechla Kol Niflo Kazav Ein Niflo Sefer Torah. Right, everyone else ran to steal gold and silver. The Amon and Moab ran to confiscate and destroy the Sefer Torah. Amru Zesh Hakazbo Lo Yavo Amon and Moab and Kal Hashem Yisarif Ba'esh. They were very upset because their Yochus was also excluded. Lo Yavo Amon and Moab. So they tried to burn all the Sefer Torah. Tziva Shem Yaakov Sviva Tzarev. Now it's talking about places that have, places that have problems, and here it's not necessarily a. Here it's not necessarily talking about Mzeris, it's talking about the goyim who oppress us. Tzivash and Liakov, Tzav and Sarav, Amrav, Gon Homni, Elopom Nara, where there were goyim and Homni, Arash, the Rivanim, and they oppressed the Jews in Pom Nara. Amrav, Hidom, Ravasi. Okay, now starts the next halachic sugya, which is tied into the previous one. Ovik, Chom, Shekidish, Ben Azeh, Choshen, Likidushin, Shem, Yasar, Sashvatim, who. A guy who's Makadish, a Jewish girl nowadays, were Choshish for the Kiddushin, because maybe he's a descendant of the Aseres HaShvatim, maybe he's a crypto Jew from the Aseres HaShvatim, and his Kiddushin are Tofes. So the Mara is a side problem here. I'll call the Parish Mubba Parish. What do you mean? Most of the Goyim are not descendants of the Aseres HaShvatim. Agav, we'll just point out, we're not going to get into all the details here. At the end of the first parak, but the machlok is Rashi Tosos. What the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Mervasi was that we're choshish for overcome shekidesh aseres hashvatim. Tosos says in his main day that it's not a very big chiddush. He just thinks the daughters of the aseres hashvatim had kids who were assimilated into the goyim, and therefore they're Jews because their maternal line goes back to the Jewish people, and so it's not a halachic chiddush. The Rashi says, no, this is really a halachli mechudashita, that Rabbi Yehuda Mervasi is choshish for the men of the Aseres HaShvatim who had children with non-Jewish wives. And so for Rashi, this is really a radical shita. For Rashi, this is a shita that if a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman have kids, the kids are Jewish mamzerim, and they're still considered part of the Jewish people. So for Rashi, there's a radical halachic shita that you have patrilineal descent as well as matrilineal descent. If one parent is Jewish, the kid is a Jewish mamzer. Unlike the way we paskin, where if the mother's Jewish, the kid is a Jewish non-mamzer, and if the mother's goyish, the kid is a goy. for Tosfos, in his second day there, he thinks there's no halachic kiddush here. He's not saying halachic kiddush. He's just saying, see, in history, the way he thinks it worked out is that the Jewish girls assimilated into these places when the Aser Shvatim were exiled and had kids, and all the mothers are Jewish going all the way back, and therefore it makes sense the kids would be Jewish. Okay, either way, we'll see that we reject it. So, the Gemara is a side problem. I'll call the first move of Pars. Regardless of the Aser Shvatim, the Aser Shvatim are a small part of all the people in the world. There's a lot of going in the world. So how many people were exiled from Aser Shvatim? So we have the rule that we follow Rove. There's a group, and one member of that group, like the population of the world, one member of that group comes to us, we follow the Rove. So the answer is, Beduchta Dik V'i. It doesn't mean any guy. Obviously, any guy who comes, if you know some guy in Vermont comes and becomes your daughter, we're not choshish for that, because what are the odds that this is a hidden assimilated Jew from the Aser Shvatim? Very, very slim. But this is talking about the places where the Bnei Aser Shvatim are, where they live. The place where they were exiled.
Originally.
The place where they were exiled hundreds of years ago, and there's a significant presence there. Damar v'abar kahana v'yanchem b'chalach v'chor nahar gozim v'ori modai. We know where these places are. I mean, it says they brought it to these four places. And these aren't places that we don't know where they are anymore. We know exactly where Chalach Zechilazim, Chavar Zechadim, Nargozim Zeginzak, Farimadai Zeh, Chamdan, Vechavru Seha. So since we know where those places are, it's referring to only people from the towns that in the days of Chazal were called Chilazon and Chadyev and Ginzak and Chemdan and its suburbs. From those places, there's a lot of Aser Shvatim, so we're Choshesh. There's another bit of Machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos here, exactly what it means, beduchta dekvi'i, which we're not going to get into now also. Tosfos says, so what if they're kavuah there? Well, aren't there still more goyim? So Tosfos says, no, it means in those towns there were more descendants of Aser HaShvatim than real goyim. So the descendants of Aser HaShvatim were the rov, and then it makes a lot of sense, we'd be choshesh. Rashi says, is referring to the din called kavuah kemechza mechza dummy. And you'd have to say, to answer Tosfos' question, that referring to a specific case, well, this gets into, we're not going to get into all the lumdus of kavua here, but this is referring to a case where the guy who was Mekadosh in these towns was kavua. Let's say a Jewish girl went to visit a certain house where that guy was kavua there, and the man of the house was Mekadosh her, and she doesn't remember which house she went to, so she can't figure out exactly who it was and start investigating them, perhaps. So, in that case, there's a rule, kavuah kemechza mechza dami, whenever you have your tarovis of people or things that are fixed in a certain place, at least under whatever circumstances, according to the various shitas, we don't look at the numbers, we consider it mechza mechza 50-50, and 50-50 kedushin, we'd have to be machmir, mi safik. Okay, so either way, lemaisa, what we have until now is Rehuda Ravasi, who says we're worried about the descendants of the Aser HaShvatim, because either according to Tosos in places there are Rov, or according to Rashi in places there are Kavua Kemechza Mechza Dami. V'amrila, oh sorry, I left out a half a sentence, Zunahar, Zunihar v'chavrosa. Some people say Arimadeh is Nihar and its suburbs, so we say Alman, which suburbs? Amashmo, Krach Moshchi, Chidchi v'dumkia. Amrabi Yochanan, V'kulan lifsol, meaning all these people are puzzle Jews. So in all these towns, we assume we're choshish for Jewish mamzerim, and they're not regular goyim. Now, here's the machlokus. Ki amrisa kamei Shmuel, when he said this over, right? We know Rav Yehuda also learned by Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda said this over in front of Shmuel. Shmuel said, no way. In fact, even a goy is Mekadosh nowadays, even from these towns, we are nachosh l'kedushav. Why? Bincha, b'min Yisrael, kari bincha, v'ein bincha, b'min avod es kochavim, karoi bincha, ela bina. Right, this is the principle that we're familiar with. That matrilineal descent, right? If you have if a guy and a Jewish girl have a baby, that's called a Jewish son. But from a non-Jewish mother, that's not called a Jewish son. V'ein bincha b'min avodes kochavim kari bincha ela bina. Okay, the v'ha'ika banos. So what is he saying? He's saying, no, they're all goyim there, because all the people in the Aser HaShvatim married goyish girls, and all their kids are goyim. V'ha'ika banos. What about all the women from Aser HaShvatim who are exiled there? So But Amar Ravina Shmamida ben Bitcha Bavna Ovichavim Karoy Kori Bincha. Don't we stand and didn't Ravina deduce from Shmuel's statement that if someone's daughter marries a guy, the progeny of that daughter and the guy is called, your son is called a Jew? Gemiri Dibnasa Daudor Itzuriya Itzuru. So this is the end of the first version of Shmuel. We have Masorah that the girls were exiled. It's the Meiri actually has a few pshatim. It's real thick with Rashi though. Were rendered infertile by the travails which they encountered, you know, in the course of that galus. So no problem. All the girls from Masorah Shvatim were rendered infertile. All the men from Masorah Shvatim had to have kids with non-Jewish girls, and those kids are goyim, and therefore we don't have to worry about kiddushin of anyone, even in these chalach and chavor and hargoza and arimadai, which we know where they are. Okay, before we get to...
Before that, Teretz, is it, how come no one's choshesh? Maybe there were Jewish men who married Jewish girls there and kept on going for a while?
Because all the Jewish girls were itzuri itzuru.
Right, okay.
So if the Jewish men had married Jewish girls, they wouldn't have had kids. So therefore, it wouldn't be a problem.
That's according to this motion, where they became infertile, but the Miri tells us it says that they kept themselves away from them.
Ah, that's an interesting one, right? So if you say Pshan Itzuri Itzuru is if you say Pshan Itzuri Itzuru is not that they became infertile, but that perhaps they made themselves look bad, etc., then why aren't we choshed that the Jewish men married Jewish women?
They also put away. They were also put away.
That's an interesting question. Or maybe you could say that if the Jewish, that over the, maybe you could say that over the generations they must have assimilated, although there might still be matrilineal lines, right? That wouldn't help. A Jewish man married a Jewish woman and they had kids. Unless the only thing you think of is that the Jewish men of that door married Jewish women, maybe their kids stayed Jewish and made it back to Kal Yisrael and didn't assimilate into these places. So perhaps that's why they're only choshesh for intermarriage, children of intermarriage, because the children of the, if Jews married Jews, they would have made it back here. It's only the intermarried Jews were afraid might be assimilated and hiding there. So maybe that's what you have to say for the Meiri.
It would be an interesting, because then you, one could, in the first shot, you could say anyone who comes and says they're from the Aseret Shvatim, you can't believe them. The Rav just explained, someone could hold that, someone could come and say, I'm from the Aseret Shvatim and I kept my lineage.
Could be. I mean, maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Rashi and a lot of Rishonim like his shot better, because that absolutely cuts off the matrilineal line. But that's a good horror.
Why are we worried that they were the guy or their non-Jewish wives?
Why aren't we worried that they're Megai or their non-Jewish wives?
That's not like historically.
The it could be that some. I guess you might have to say that either you have to say they had a Masorah that the circumstances were not such, or perhaps they understood that, yeah, I mean, here I'm touching on delicate issues here, but you could perhaps say that they understood that given how well they assimilated, you know, very soon after this exile occurred. So either that proves that they weren't Megai or their wives, they were just assimilating, or even they were Megai or their wives, that shows that it wasn't a serious Geirus, because they were still interested in assimilating. So I think you'd have to say that they either had a Masorah or just deduced from the end result that there was somehow no Geirus there. It's an interesting question of whether, you know, you could deduce from the end result of even if there was a Geirus, it wasn't a real Geirus. That's obviously big issues, Adai Mazeh, and that's discussed by the Achronim, the Sugya of Kutim, but we're not going to get into that now. Okay, so this is the first answer. There's a famous Machlokes Rashi and Tosos, which is worth chazering. What's the Makor here? In the parallel of Gemara here, they don't bring a Makor. How do we know, Taka, that Bincha, Bavanei Shel, Kari Bincha, Vein Bincha, Bavanei Beres, Kari Bincha? Right, if I have a kid with a Jewish girl, matter of fact, I did, and that's called a Jewish kid. If I would have a kid with a non-Jewish girl, that would not be called a Jewish kid. And then Ravina deduces, if a non-Jew has a kid with a Jewish girl, then it would be considered my kid. Now, how do we know these things? So Rashi explains, says in the parallel of Sugya and Kiddushin, Ki Yasser Es Bincha Mi Acharai. It says, right, blos chatin bam. It's bitcha lo titein levno, right? Uvito lo tikach levnecha. Ki yasiris ben chame acharai v'yavdu Elohim achirim, etc. How does ki yasiris ben cha acharai imply all these things? So this is a three-way machlokas Rashi in 2 days in Rabbeinu Tam. Ki yasir es ben cha me'acharai. What does Rashi say? Rashi says who. Right. What do we want to know? Who is Mesir? How is he Mesir? And who is Bincha in the pasuk? Okay. For Rashi, who is Mesir? Who? How? What's Rashi's pshat? And what? Right. What's pshat of the pasuk according to Rashi? Ki Yasser is Bincha Me'acharai. Who's Meser who?
You're Meser your grandson?
What? Exactly. And here, you'd ask, what's the case? For Rashi, the case is you give your daughter to them or you take their daughter for you. Exactly. The case is Bitcha Lo Titein with no. Oops. 1 second. So for Rashi, it's Bitcha Ubino. You give your daughter to a non-Jew, what's going to happen? If you give your daughter to a non-Jew, who's going to be Mesir? Right? The husband. Here, it's very hard. You got to figure out whose perspective we're looking at it from, right? For Rashi, what's the case? Let's say you give your daughter to his son, so the husband will be Mesir, right? Will be Mesir, or exactly, let's say it this way, your son-in-law will be Mesir, your grandson. How is he Mesir your grandson? What's he going to do to your grandson? He's going to influence him to worship idols, right? He's going to influence to Avodah Zarah. And what is the, how do we know? Right, who's the first person? Who's the Diuk? Shmuel, right? In the Nervina. What's Shmuel's Diuk? Shmuel's Diuk. And then we have Ravina's Diuk, right? Ravina's next. Shmuel's Diuk is that, you know, he is the grandson Ravina's diuk is that the grandson is called yours, right? It's your son, which proves that if the mother's Jewish, even if the father's a guy, the kid is still Jewish. And what's Shmuel's diuk, that would be the other way around? Shmuel's diuk is since Torah doesn't mention a similar pasuk about Bito Levincha. The Torah doesn't say Bincha about a case where it would be the guy's daughter and your son. Doesn't call the grandson Bincha. So, since the Torah only says Bincha about the son of a Jewish girl and not about the son of a Goyish girl, that proves the son of a Jewish girl is Jewish and the son of a Goyish girl is a guy. Obviously, Tosa's main problem with Rashi here is that it seems like Ravina like adds a diuk to Shmuel. It really, Ravina's the main shot in the pasuk, and Shmuel's the secondary diuk. So it's a little funny that the Gemara mentions Shmuel and then has Ravina make a diuk when really Ravina's shot in the pasuk, and Shmuel is like argument from silence. Okay, what's Ravina Tom's first shot? This is Rashi. What's Ravina Tom's first shot? Actually, both his shots are similar. Who is Meser who? Who's the key Yasser according to Ravina Tom? Who's Maser?
Your...
What's the case? Who's marrying who?
Your
exactly. Well, who's marrying who?
Your son is marrying.
Right. Your son is. Is married in his first shot. Right. You're also a bit. Livno. And who is Maser? Your mechutin. Is Maser who?
Your son.
Exactly. And according to the first one, how is he Maser your son? How is he Maser your son?
First case, Bichal Bita.
Oh, is that?
He's Maser because he's not Jewish. No, for a bit of time.
No, that's the second one. No, that's the second one, I think.
Your daughter and their son?
But? No, that's not right. Thank you. Okay, that's better.
It's your daughter.
Bito Levincha. Thank you. Okay, your son marries a non-Jewish girl, so the chutin is Maser your son. How is he Maser your son?
Kids are good.
Exactly. He's Maser your son by
zero.
Causing his kids to be goyim. And that's the chashas. The chashas are not influencing. This is again talking about Kolosi Italian, right? The first shot of Rintam. The chashas is that he will mace your son, meaning he will take your son's future out of Klal Yisrael. He'll take your son's zera out of Klal Yisrael. And this is, clearly, Shmuel's diuk is just, the simple shot. Shmuel's not making a diuk. Shmuel's saying, this is mefurish what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, if your son marries a goyish girl, then the mechutin who arranged that shidduch is, the mechutin who, the goyish mechutin who arranged for his daughter to marry your son is taking your son's progeny out of Klal Yisrael because the kids will be goyim. Okay, that is pretty clear. And Ravina that makes a diuk since Torah didn't have a similar pasuk about Bitcha Livno. Torah didn't say if you let your daughter marry a guy, then her progeny will be out of Klal Yisrael. That shows her progeny will be in Klal Yisrael. That's when your Tom says the first shot. What's your Tom second shot? It's referring to the same case, right? The same Yasir. Your mechutin will be Maser, your son. But what's the difference between your Bina'atam's first shot and second shot? What's Bina'atam's second shot? The old Pirish Bina'atam? That he says, no, here it doesn't mean influence to a Buddhazar. That's pshat, but that's simple pshat. Paski Yasser has been chamiach, right? V'yavdu Elohim achirin. That what does it mean? If you let your son marry a goyish girl, then the mechutin will bring your son to church. Okay, what does it have to do with their kids? What does it have to do with their kids? From where does Shmuel learn anything about the kids?
The
diuk. The diuk, right? Here it's a diuk. The diuk is that. Torah is upset about your son worshipping Avodah Zarah, but not about your grandson. Why did the Torah only upset about your son worshipping Avodah Zarah, not Ben Mincha, not your grandson worshipping Avodah Zarah? The answer is the Torah doesn't care that your grandson's going to worship Avodah Zarah, because your grandson's a guy, and the Torah, obviously, ideally, no one should worship Avodah Zarah, but that's not what the Torah's worried about here. The Torah's worried about Jews keeping the Torah. The Torah in this particular paragraph is not worried about Muslim Mashiach, is not worried about Goyim. So therefore, it'll be a problem because the Shver will bring your son to church, but it's not a problem that he'll bring your grandchildren to church, because they belong in church anyway, because they're a bunch of Goyim. And what's the Diuk of Ravina? And Ravina has the same diuk. that since the Torah only said this about the toll of Necha and not Itcha Livno, there's a Diyuk. That in Bitcha Livno, the grandchildren are Jewish. Okay, it's an argument from the Torah. Pick one example and not the other. That implies there are Diyuk that's true about this example, not the other. So, yeah.
Is it must come by cold that the Torah doesn't care about the children of the Jewish father?
Aha, that's very, very fascinating. Ramban point made this out to me the other day. I don't want to get into this too much, but you should know this is one of the big, big issues in politics nowadays, right? I just read in the newspaper, I think, we're going to have elections, right? We're going to have elections in the summer, wherever, I don't know exactly. Anyway, there's going to be elections. Whenever there'll be elections, who knows really anyway. Whenever Hashem wants them to be elections, there'll be elections, I'd say. It's a whole interesting Indian that the Gemara says, the Pasuk is, Lei B'lachem B'yad Hashem. You know, it sounds like Hashem makes the king decide what to do in politics. What about free will? It doesn't make me decide what to do every morning if I want to go to shul or not. So they say that, you know, regular people live by regular life. That is Bechira Chafshis. But politicians, kings, they live by politics. In politics, no one knows what they're doing anyway. No one can actually decide what they want to do. Everything comes out the opposite of what you think. So since no one has Bechira Chafshis in politics anyway, because everything's complicated and emerges the opposite of what you think it'll emerge, therefore, Leim Lach B'yad Hashem, we just attribute it all to Hashem. So that's for sure true about this. But this might become an issue in the election, right? I haven't heard yet any of the details, right? Everyone's speculating now, right? Is Derry going to make his own party, or is he going to make up with Rav Avadya? And is Absalom, I'm pretty sure, is not going to make up with Rav Avadya, but is he going to make his own party in the end or not? And who's going to run, etc.? So, one of the big platforms of the Am Shalim party, which you may or may not have an opportunity to vote for in the upcoming elections, you know, get your tudat zehut quick, so if you don't have one yet, so you'll have your opportunity, is what is taka the status of a Jewish father and a Jewish mother? One thing is clear. Shmuel says, and we follow him all over Shas, that if the mother's Jewish, the kid's Jewish. If the mother's a goy, the kid's a goy. Did Rav Yehuda or Rav Asi in the beginning of the sugi even argue with that or not? According to the Tosos in the second age, no one ever argued with that in the history of Judaism, in the history of all of Chazal. According to Rashi, Taka, Rav Yehuda or Rav Asi argued, but it doesn't matter because we clearly possibly like Shmuel, and you know that goes without saying. The question is, what is the makor in the pasuk that tells us that if the father's Jewish and the mother's not Jewish, the kid's a guy, and how does that affect things, right? According to, what's the whole Torah of Chaim Absalom? Anyone ever read a Sefer? What's a Sefer called? Zer Yisrael, right? Where did he get, who made up that idea? Here I'm getting into politics. Who made up that idea in the current terminology, at least? What? No, Rav Ben Sinu Zion. First row, he was the first row of Russia, right? Rabbi Zeal. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I'm not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So anyway, he was, I think, the first Sephardic Rabbi Rashi in the Medinat Yisrael. So he has this idea which comes up one place in his Sfarim, which then Rabbi Amsalem found Diyukim. One could argue about all the Diyukim back and forth. Ayin Shem, it's on HebrewBooks.org. You can read it for free if you want. From various Rishonim. Achronim tried to find a makor. He made a big deal. Wrote a whole book about it. What is the concept of Zeri Yisrael? That if a Jewish man has a baby with a Goyish woman, even though the baby's not Jewish, he's not a regular non-Jew. He's not just some regular Goy out there in the veldt. No, he's a Goy, but he's Zeri Yisrael. And therefore, you have a mitzvah, you carve him, you gather him, and maybe there's even less requirements in the giyur because he already has some Jewishness in him. And, you know, you apply here, leval yidach minu nidach. Okay, it's a very beautiful idea, leval yidach minu nidach. Exactly when you apply it, when you don't. I'm not sure how anyone knows. But, and he says, oh, the terrible, terrible Aveira of the father here, the father did this terrible Aveira, he married a non-Jewish girl and had non-Jewish kids. Baruch Hashem, we're mitakin it because we fixed that Zer Yisrael to the way that it should be, and I mean, not that it makes it totally okay for him retroactively to say we're mitakin the Chumras Aveira, because in the end it worked out. What is this? Now, this concept of, this has nothing to do with my political or hashkafic or whatever opinions about gayrus nowadays in Israel and all the other issues. I mean, forget about Zer Yisrael. There's a lot to talk about in terms of what you think the hashkafic should be about gayrus in the state of Israel. And I'm not from the biggest machmir in the world. But when it comes to this particular idea of Zer Yisrael, right, that if the father's, if the father is, which is many, many, many of the, again, it's not the people who Chaim Absalom comes from. I don't think among the Spartans you have a lot of people like this. But it's all the people who are here, all the Russians, etc. Meaning, who are all the people who aren't Jewish here? Right? They're not the people whose both parents are Goyim. Because there aren't that many. There are plenty of them, but there aren't that many of them. So if both parents are Goyim, then how did they end up here? Right? It's not the people whose mother's Jewish. They're already Jewish. It's the people whose father's Jewish.
Grandchildren.
Okay, but then you just go back a step. It's the people whose father or grandfather is Jewish, right? And then they came from Russia, and in Russia, the ethnicity was based on your father, and they consider themselves Jews, and they only discover when they get to the army and Nativ contacts them that they're not really Jews. Right? Those are all the people. There are hundreds of thousands of them. It was a big issue in Eretz Yisrael. And the platform of Zer Yisrael says, no, it's an important mitzvah to megayer them, and you have to be making the gear, and you have to make them the gear because of how important a mitzvah is, and also because you don't really need a full gear anyway because they're already Zer Yisrael. So is that idea true or not? So I tried to look through the all of, I mean, Rav Uziel doesn't bring rise to it. He just mentioned it once in the Mamash as an Agav Urcha, at least from what I could see in his Chukas. I don't know, maybe there are other things besides Malpeh, I'm not a Bucky, but at least I looked at the Bar Ilan on the Rebbe Zeal's Tshuvas, and, you know, it wasn't a central cornerstone of his Hashgafa. Chaim Absalom brings rayas from all over the place. Not sure he's convinced by any of his rayas. You can, if you want a project over Shavuos, you can take his book and read through it. Chapter Terakea thinks about this. See if you like any of his proofs. But how about going back to the Pasuk? How about going back to the Pasuk? So, what do we see from the pasuk in terms of this Jew who has a baby with a Goyish woman? So, how do we know they're not Jewish, and what does the Torah say about it? Certainly, if you take the second shot of Binyan Tam, what's the second shot of Binyan Tam? Ki yasser is bincha. It's so terrible if the Jew who marries a Goyish woman goes to church. But if his kids go to church, that's not so terrible. The Torah wasn't warning you that might happen. Because that's not our problem, that's not our, that's regular goyim. Really sounds like under Rabbeinu Tam's second shot is legamre against, Rav Anselm Sefer, because he's saying that even though this is the zera of a Jewish man, the Torah could have said, just one extra, ki yasser is bincha v'zaro, you know, because he'll end up being the more worship idols. But no, we only care that the bincha worship idols, the grandchildren worshiping idols, is not our problem. It really sounds like you have no more mitzvah in the Kari of Zer Yisrael than, you know, the billion people in China. And once they're a guy, they're a guy, and the Torah is just not mityaches to them. So this really seems like, you know, now, at least the second formulation of Rabbeinu Tam is very, you know, stands in contradiction to this idea of Zer Yisrael. So I admit that this would not make Chaim Absalom very happy, I think. In terms of the other pshatim, that I think it's hard to tell. You know, in terms of Binyan Tam's first pshat, what's it saying? Ki yasser is bincha. He's going to do a terrible thing to your son by making the grandchildren goyim. Does that mean the terrible thing is making them goyim and then it's farfalin, or the terrible thing is making them goyim if you don't save them, but you should try to save them? That, I don't think you can prove it either way. I think that's neutral. It's not a riot at all. Certainly, if you're talking about Rashi, for Rashi, the question is just, who's called Bincha? And it's a deal that this person's called Bincha and that person's not called Bincha. I don't think you can unite anything. So according to Rashi, in the first chapter of Binyan Tam, I don't think you can prove anything one way or the other, but certainly the second chapter of Binyan Tam would stand in opposition to this idea of Zeri Yisrael by saying that, what do you mean, who cares about Zeri Yisrael? The Torah didn't even say it would be a terrible thing for him to go to church. Obviously, it's bad for going to go to church. We'd rather that everyone, only worship the one God. But the Torah wasn't terribly concerned about it, so it sounds like it's not a terrible concern for us any more than the people in Shtetl from China who bow down to their gods.
When did you say that someone was there just really because of whatever Makorah that it shot up to encourage them? But the bottom line is a guy is a guy is a guy. And I don't know, would you say that he's Mechuyav in mitzvot? Let's say he wants to be a Ben Noach. You'd say, good, be a Ben Noach, right?
Right, so I think everyone agrees he's Potter from 613 mitzvot. The question is, and here, I didn't read his sefer well enough to be medayik. He said two things. First, he said, even if it's a goy gomer, there's more of a chiyuv to try to save them. Second, he says, even if it's a goy gomer, it's a goy gomer who is not so gomer, and therefore he only needs, even though he's part of the 630 mitzvot, he needs a smaller geirus al pi din. He actually wants the taina there that he needs milan tefillah but not kabbalas mitzvos, which works out very practically.
That is that was the original.
Two things. Okay. First, he says they need a full geirus, but we should be makil on the machlokas achrona about mitzvos in order to save the Zeri Yisrael. And then he says he wants to say even further that taka, it's not a matter of Hachra. First is Al Tachra. We all know, there's the Achiezer's, Kabbalah's mitzvos, and there's all different versions of Kabbalah's mitzvos. There's Ravaziel's Kabbalah's mitzvos. There's Kabbalah's mitzvos Leot Masorati. That's good enough. There's Kabbalah's mitzvos Lehischaya Velo Lekayim, which is the Achiezer's thinks is good enough, etc. So we should be Achriel the Kula because it's important to save Zeri Yisrael. And then he says something more radical. It's not a Hachra. Al Pidin their potter from Kabbalah's mitzvot because they already have Zeri Yisrael in them. That's a big chiddush. Okay, Ayin Shem. Anyway, Ayin Shem, that's a big chiddush. But clearly, the second day of Rebbeinu Tam here really makes it sound like both those chiddushim are wrong. Not only don't we have special rules for Zeri Yisrael, but we don't even need to be machriya. There's no special urgency to save Zeri Yisrael. Yeah, without getting into the issue of whether there's special urgency to save Zeri Yisrael whether there's special urgency to have geirus based on the current situation in Eretz Yisrael for other reasons. That's just an interesting aura that Yoni reminded me of.
Just one comment on that. I didn't see anything in SAT, but I've heard quotes that Kiruv organizations get from Rabbi Yashav that if someone thinks that they're Jewish and you've already started teaching them, so you can continue teaching them, you can require them, you don't have to.
Right, that's an interesting question, but I don't. That might be for totally different reasons. That might be for totally different reasons. But I don't. I haven't heard that specific quote before. Although it makes a lot of sense. But that could be for other reasons. I'm not going to speculate what the reasons are because one could probably find out. But I can think of lots of other good reasons for that, having nothing to do with what Zera, even if they're from Zera of, Martians who just, made a mistake in the hospital. Okay, so now back to the Gemara. This is the first shot of Shmuel. He said there's no chash of Yadus by the Makom Yaser Sashvatim because of Dine Yochsin, the Jewish fathers can't pass on Yadus, and the Jewish mothers, luckily we have Masorah that they're Itzturi, and they didn't reproduce, and therefore things are much simpler halachically. How the second version of Shmuel says something a little more radical. Kia ikadam rikim risi kamen Shmuel armalelo zaz misham ad shasam ovdei kuchavim gemurim. Second version of Shmuel says, no. It's not because of Dine Yochsin. Alt Dine Yochsin. Maybe they would have been Jewish. Or the second day of Shmuel would say, come on, don't give me these far out Masorahs, it's Ru. No, maybe, who knows, they married each other, they married always, everyone had kids, there might be lots of crypto Jews there. However, the Bezdin of that time, and he's quoting classic from Moshe, I think, says, even if they were Jews, now they're not anymore, made them goyim gemurim. Shenemar b'Hashem b'godu kibonim zorim yaladu. That they betrayed Hashem. How did they betray Hashem? They betrayed Hashem by assimilating into all the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And since they betrayed Hashem, they're Zarim, they're considered Goyim. From here we see that if people leave Hashem, then they're considered Goyim, and the Chiddush the Chiddush is here, not just like, we'll be machmer and disqualify them or whatever. That's easy. You can always put a knas on someone. Like if it said, oh, a guy goes and assimilates and, you know, gets baptized, from now on we're not going to eat a shechita. Okay, fine. So you put a knas on him. No big deal. It says, even Lakula, he then goes and is mekadesh a Jewish girl and we let her remarry without a get. Because, at least that's the simple shot. Okay. This is a big chiddush, and this is the source of a lot of discussion in the poskim, because if you take the second lashon of Shmuel seriously, Hashem bagadu kibonim zarim yomadu, he learns from a pasuk, it seems to be there's a halacha that a mummer, right? I don't mean a mummer like, you know, a guy who really likes eating pork. I mean a mummer lagamre, a guy who mamish converts to another religion, right? Assimilates into another people. A mummer loses his status as a Jew, becomes a guy.
It sounds even less than that. Just intermarrying. I mean, you don't have to become a Christian.
No, but Hashem bagad. What does it mean that they were bogein and Hashem? Right? L'chori, to be bogein and Hashem, you have to go to idols or something, no?
Right. That's not what kibbutzim zorim you're allowed
to. No, but...
Is that two
okay, so I was reading it the opposite of the way you were reading it. How do I know that I'm right and you're wrong? I see what you're saying.
It would seem that maybe in that culture, in other words, we understand the concept that a person was secular. In other words, he intermarried, but he didn't become, he didn't change his religion. There, apparently, that was part and parcel of the culture. When you intermarried, you joined that person's faith community.
Right, and they all joined that people, meaning the same way that the people from Halach and Chavor, all those people became Kutim, became Jews of one status or another, but at least in many, many periods of Jewish history were considered to be good Jews, right? Although in the end, we ended up not liking them so much. This is, anyone who is not doing anything tomorrow, I've always wondered if this is mutter or not, but it's certainly attractive from a standpoint of curiosity. My wife flew to America for the weekend, so I'm not free to do any, Bittelsmans tomorrow. But this is one of those lucky years where we have a regular year and the Kutim have an Ibriyar. So our Pesach was their, I wouldn't say Purim, but our Pesach was their Adar, was their Adar Sheni, and our Pesach Sheni is there Pesach, and whatever, like it doesn't have to work at the exact same day because they still go by the moon and we go by calendar, which takes into account Lo'ad Rosh, etc. So it turns out that Pesach is tomorrow for them. Pesach tomorrow, even then for us, tomorrow is Yud Beis, but for them, what?
Yeah.
For them, tomorrow is Yud Daled. So it's Pesach tomorrow, and they're doing the whole ritual early. Because of Chol Shabbos, to avoid Chol Shabbos, like the Rabbanu Rosh said last week. So anyone who wants to drive up to the Shomron can see them. They still bring the Korban Pesach in the old-fashioned way, Pachod Yoter, the way it's described in the Chumash. It's a very, very interesting thing. What? And the Har Grizim, of course, where they had their Mikdash. And they hold that Kitchel Shaita of the Kitchel Asad Mavo. And they still have their Kohen Gadol, who's very, very iffy. That's Shasa Chakadi Yevadami, right? They had a Kohen Gadol who they believed was from Zera Aaron. And why not? Right? It says in the Navi that Kohanim went there, right? And then somehow, like, they all died out, and so they found someone who's from Levi. But whatever, it's, you know. The truth is that it's the, you know, if you don't have the Torah Shavuot, it seems to say Mefurish and Parsha Shoftim, that's okay, right? So anyway, very, very fascinating. If anyone... What?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a big thing. It'll probably be on National Geographic TV or something. Anyway, it's very, very fascinating. If you want to see, you know, it's probably educational. I always wondered whether it was like mutter. To go see this, but it could be that if they're going more than it is, then they're not even necessarily doing an Aveira per se. But it's very fascinating because you get to see a little bit of like what Karbanos were like in the old days. It's clearly not you get to see what Karbanos were like in the Shvachis times in Jewish history because there are Sach HaKol, a couple dozen of them left and Miss Kainim and whatever, and it's not like you're going to see Shanu Ketikunam, But you get to see at least what Kabbalists were like in the worst, weakest times of Jewish history when there were only a couple dozen people left in the Mikdash and they were all pouring downtrodden. Very, very fascinating. Okay, if anyone goes, video it for me. Okay. How do we get to that? We have to go back to Kutim. Anyway, Vaitim. Okay. Now, so, look, if the Kutim took on Judaism, then it makes sense that these people took on the religion. And what's Vashem Bagadu? Vashem Bagadu, I know this is a little, the pshat of the pasuk is clearly, Vashem Bagadu kibanim zarim yaladu. That, the pshat of the pasuk is, Vashem Bagadu kibanim zarim yaladu, that by having banim zarim, they betrayed Hashem. But in any case, it could be that in any case, we see they had banim zarim, right? Which means that they became zarim, became goyim. So we see that they became goyim. Okay, could be here we're darshing it the other way, that the reason they had banim zarim is because Hashem Bagadu, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Okay, now, the question is, what does this mean halacha l'maisa? This is a big shaila halacha l'maisa in terms of what about a mumer shekidesh? We all know in the time of the... we all know, maybe some people who might listen to tape don't know, close your ears if you're very innocent. We all know that everything in Jewish history didn't work exactly the way you might think from the Archibald children's books. But yes, we didn't necessarily have the exact same religious problems in Europe that we have now, but we had plenty of other ones. And in the Middle Ages, Taka... It was true, there were no Reform Jews, and there were no secular Jews, and there were no assimilated Jews, but there were tons and tons and tons of baptized Jews, right? Rabbeinu Gershom or Agola's son, I will mention, I will not mention, son of any... Hasidic Rebbe's from Lithuania, big people. You can imagine if Rabbeinu Gershom's son was baptized, then how many regular, Benonim and not so firm people's sons were baptized. So this was Ma'aseh Chol Yom Mumer. Kiddusha of Kiddushim was not the main shaila you had in the Middle Ages. The truth is, the real shaila wasn't if a mummer, if a shmada Jew is mekadesh a girl, what's the din? Because usually the shmada Jew wouldn't be mekadesh a girl once he was baptized. If you want to get married, you go to a church to a priest and do whatever they do there. But what was the big shaila, of course? Yivam. What if a guy's brother shmada and then he died without kids? Is there a zika to this mummer brother? So very fascinatingly, this is a big, big machlokas. Going from the very beginning, Rashi said, Yisrael af bishachat Yisraelu, a yid is a yid, and she's needs chalitza from that ach mumer, which was not at all an easy thing to accomplish in those days. Was near impossible, very, very, or at least very, very difficult in those days. The Catholics weren't liberal yet. I assume now the Pope would say it's a mitzvah al pi der das to do chalitza to encourage everyone's religious conscience, and let them all have their human rights, etc. But in those days it wasn't pashat. So the footnotes of the Ritva fellow collects 11 different svaras in the poskim. Okay, I think there might really be 9 in different words, but all different svaras that they had. Why? Maybe you could be making and let her off without chalitza. But the first issue was. Our sugya, Yud Zayinim and Aleph, as the Meiri says, right? They're also mechin Yud Zayinim and Aleph. Bashem Bogadu Kibonim Zarin Yaladu, Asam of the Kham Gemurim. If a guy shmads in the church, then he's an Ovi Kham Gomer. And if he's a guy, then, of course, there's no Kiddushin. If there's no Kiddushin, of course, there's no Zika. And therefore, she doesn't have to be in this difficult situation. So this is the big, big, big issue discussed in all the Rishonim. And... in the way many Rishonim, it came down to a stira between over here, where we say they're Ovdei Chum Gemurim, versus a Gemara in Memzayin with Beis, which sounded very difficult, different. It says, Tavo V'Allah Reif Yisrael Chol Tvarev, right? First of all, Rashi quoted on the other side, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yisrael Af Pishachata Yisrael, right? Chata Yisrael, that a Jew, even if the Jew does the wrong thing, he's still a Jew. Okay, that's in a Agadic context, about Achan, etc. It's not. But the stronger right on the other side of the Zion Beis, which actually seems to be talking about our case, and talking about exactly our Nafkamina. Tov V'Olah Rekhi Shol Tvarev, once a ger does tvila, milo tvila, he's a regular Jew. What do you mean he's a regular Jew? L'mayhil chsadi hadar mei mekadosh v'esrael yisrael momer kriyun mei kedushin kedushin. It says right there, if a guy's a megayer, once he finishes the geiris, if he changes his mind, he's still a Jew and his kedushin are still kedushin. Now, here's a guy who is a ger and changed his mind. Rashi says, let me, he went back to being whatever he was in the first place, right? He's a ger and he changed his mind, he went back to being a guy. His kedushin is still valid. Kalachor is someone who was born a Jew. If they decide to go to the church, their kedushin is still valid. That seems pretty clear that even if you change your mind and decide to be a guy, a Jew is always a Jew and your kedushin is still valid. And this is a big, big, big machlokas. Had to be miyashev, Shmuel and Daf Yud Zayin, Amen Aleph, with the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, and the idea of Yud Zayin Amen Aleph, Hasa'um, Goyin, Gemurim versus Yisrael, Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu, and even more importantly, Mem Zayin and Beis, Yihadar Bey, Omekadesh Bas Yisrael, what's the Lashon? Yisrael Mumar Karina Bey, right? Right, if this guy converts and then goes back to church, he doesn't retroactively invalidate his conversion. He just becomes a Yisrael Mumar. Yisrael Mumar Karina Bey, he's called the Yisrael Mumar. The Kiddush of Kiddushin, it says right there straight out. He's Yisrael Mumar, it's Kiddush of our Kiddushin. Flat out, Kiddushin Yisrael Mumar, Toface, against our Gemara, which says that we're not kosher to the Kiddushin. So, what are most, how would you solve this problem?
The Gemara and Zion is only talking about a specific group of Mumar from the Esther.
And what was unique about those specific group? Exactly. Meaning, this was not Hashem Bagodi Kabbalim Zorik. What does it mean Asa'om? Asa'om is always tricky. Asa'om mean they applied the Halach and Darsh and the Pesukim, or Asa'om made they need a special Takana. So the simple, so one simple answer could be that they made a special Takana. Right over here is the regular din is that once a Jew, you always stay a Jew. Over here, they made a special takana. That is what the Rashi and the Ritva and I think most poskim say. Over there, they made a special takana. When you make a special takana, so that's different, right? Over here, they made a. Over here, they made a special tikkun, and this is Rove Poskim saying that that's what we assume nowadays. If you find someone whose mother's mother was Jewish from the Inquisition, and you trace their lineage, even though they become a total guy, or someone goes, goes off the derech and becomes, a Buddhist and whatever, and becomes a total guy. Doesn't matter. A Jew stays a Jew. You can't stop being a Jew. There's no exit to the club. You can't renounce your citizenship. What happened there? There they made a special takana. The question is, how do you make a special takana to make someone not Jewish? Meaning, usually takanas are to be machmir. So how can you make a takana to make someone not Jewish? So if you read the Rashi and Ritva carefully, what do they say?
Maybe that it's not even really such a special takana. I mean, when was Moses Azim? Talking about it really a couple, few generations later. The whole question here was whether it's a robe or not a robe. Could it be the other point?
No, but Lozazim Misham sounds like at that time. That's why the doctrine of Pasuk in Hosea. You know? Lozazim Misham means that immediately. So I think that sounds like it was immediately. If you look at the Lush in the. Well, how can they make takana to make someone not Jewish? Anyone read the Rashi and Ritva carefully? What did I put on the Makor sheet here? What? What did the Rashi and Ritva say? They did. They said they were mafkia kiddushin. What do we call that rule? Afkidurim. Meaning, according to the Rashi and Ritva, can you make a takana to make someone not Jewish? No. Really, it's not they made them not Jewish. It's just that they might as well be not Jewish because when that choshish for their kiddushin is going gemur and is lav dafka. How can they make a takana to uproot kiddushin? No problem. We know from six places in Shas, I think, that Afkina Rabbanu L'Kedusha B'nei. So that's the Rashba. How? What the Rashba and the Ritva say is, Lav Davka Goyim Gemurim. Right? So you have to say the Lashon is a little Lav Davka. But rather, Hafkas Kedushin. Now, what do you mean Hafkas Kedushin? You don't mean Hafkas Kedushin for Goyim. It means it's Echanami, they're Jewish. You can't leave Judaism. They just made a special takana that for these people, they're mafkia the kiddushin. Why? For whatever reason, they decided to, you know, cut them out of marrying into us. Whatever, so they're mafkia the kiddushin.
But that brings the whole question. If they could do it, why can't we do it?
Mafkia kiddushin.
I would say you can.
Yeah, okay. We're not going to get tough customers. That's really far.
And what was special? What was special then that they could do it?
Ah, but we know Chazar Rav Kiyah Kedushin in many, many cases. That's no Chiddush. The question is, if Chazar Rav Kiyah Kedushin, can we be Rav Kiyah Kedushin? So, you know, that's a big machlokes of Shonim. In time of Shonim, there's also plenty of Rav Kiyah Kedushin, but there's machlokes about this. But the bottom line is, why nowadays can't we be Rav Kiyah Kedushin is Pashat. Same reason we can't do anything nowadays, because the minimum requirement for doing anything is to have a central religious authority that's recognized by the populace, right? If you don't know which rabbis are in charge, then who gets to decide what the government make? Right? And since nowadays, right, at one time there's a Bez and a Gadol, etc. Then at one time the Jews were spread all over the place, but in this country, there was a Bez in that country. In this city, there's a Bez in the city. Now that we live in a global village, so who's going to make it to the economy of Kiyah Kedushin? Right? I think it's an obvious Savara that if there are 20 competing Bez and competing Ashkafas for the loyalties of the Jews of Yerushalayim, if one of them makes the covenant of Kiyah Kedushin, it can't be that that's valid. Right. So that's the, you know, that's the simplest answer. Now, so that's the Rashi and the Ritva. I think they're medayik in their lashon. If Kiyah Kedushin, right, the Ritva right here, I will read it to you, says, seems to not be in the Ritva here. What? I seem to be missing this part from the Ritva and the Kovetz. But
it's in the Ritva.
Yeah, it's just not in this version for some reason. Not sure why. Unclear. But in any case, it's really there. I'll have to read it to you instead from the Rashba on Daf Chaf Beis, where many of you shouldn't discuss it, because that's where it discusses like who's Zokik for Yibam, and the. The Rashba says, "Lav l'meimad Yisrael shenasa akum gomer va'ovid v'zor shen kol shen yidusha." It doesn't mean a Jew converts to and becomes a guy and leaves Judaism. Elo osam b'levadu shasam kachim. Only they made it depend on them mitchilasam as they made them ke akum gemurim. Right? What's our lashon asam ovid kum gemurim? He says, "Sam ke ovid kum gemurim." Right? Ke ve'hefkiu kidushehen. Okay, very poshim. The Rashba says the same thing, even though for some reason that paragraph is missing here. However, there's another possible answer as well, which is based on a shach. Shach is really based on a Rambam. Where else does it say in Shas Asom Kegoyim Gemurim? Only one of the places in Shas. School in Davav by Kusim, right? In the end, what happened, they found the Mosiona on Harizim, they made them Goyim Gemurim. It's a big machlok Rishonim and Achronim. It's famous in Machlok Shach and Chavos Das. It's really machlok between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. Shach is in Kufman Tess. What does it mean to me, the kutim goyim gemurim? Does that mean they made them goyim l'chumra or even l'kula? Right? The Shulchan Aruch paskins pretty consistently all over the place, only l'chumra, like many Rishonim. Right? So, and that's the Chavos Das argues. The Shach says, most Mefarshim say, what does it mean? They made a gzeira, the kutim are Jewish, but we have to give them l'chumra to be non-Jewish as a knas to be marking them. However, the Shach paskins, and, you know, he's the first one who says it in this Lashon, but he has many, many rayas in the Rambam. They made the Kutim Goyim L'kula as well. How can Chazal, in the days of the Tanaim, have made people Goyim Bein L'chum or Bein L'kula? Right, do they have to be Mekel? So this is very, very unclear. But you could say that what do we see from the Shach, right? Or, you know, I'll pi the shach that yesh koach biyad chachamim lasos
Yisrael. Goyim Gemurim. Really, no. Really, Chachamim do have the power to make someone to Goyim Gemurim. Exactly why does Chachamim have the power to make someone to Goyim Gemurim? So this is picked up and radically extended by a very famous Chassam Sofer in Hilchos Tefillin. Right? Chassam Sofer says in Hilchos Tefillin, he picks up on the Shach, and he says, this has nothing to do specifically with Kutim. Says this means that the Chacham have the power to decide who's Jewish and who's not. The bus over membership of the Jewish people is Biyad Bezdin. That is the famous Chacham Sofer in Hilchos Tefillin. Not the only way to explain the Shach, but it's the most famous way. So I'll be the Shach and the Chacham Sofer. Now the Chacham Sofer applies it in a way that goes very, very, very far. He says a Moser, that Chachamim Mamish Mavkiyah his Judaism and made it into a guy. That seems very, very big fish. Like, you would think a Moser is just like a Knas. They put some chumras on him. But the Shach, explained by the Chacham Sofer, says, no, Bez Din actually have the power over deciding who's a Jew and who's not. And they have the right. Why do Bez Din have the right? Because Bez Din are the representatives of the Jewish people. And they can decide who's in the Jewish people, who isn't. There actually is a power like that to keep people out of Judaism. Now, they didn't use it by every Momer, but they did use it by the Kutim, and they did use it by the Aseres HaShvatim, who was assimilated into Halach, Chavor, Nahar Gozen, and Ari Vadai, based on their judgment at that time. So, according to this, this is a very fascinating idea, that like someone has vitalist over membership in the Jewish people, they don't make a lot of sense. Over here, there are some Goyim Gemurim, but in a regular case, no one made a takana to make them into Goyim Gemurim. This is interesting. It also makes you think about what the role of Beis Din is in Geirus. Why do you need Beis Din for Geirus? Do you just need a Beis Din to like make sure things are done properly and seriously? Could be that for the Shach of Sam Sofer, you need a Beis Din for Geirus because they have the power to give people membership in Klal Yisrael. And likewise, Beis Din has the power to take away membership in Klal Yisrael. Okay, take away. It's not enough to have three shvos. You need the Bezdin HaGadol, the central Bezdin. But they say, no, Chazal, Bezdin really has power over membership in the Jewish people. They can kick you out.
Even if you said Kusim were made going even Lekulei, could you say that, like, it was just based on the Machlokas they had, really, they were never...
Yes, that's what some Achronim want to write. That's what some Achronim want to write. That's why I said, I'll be the Shach and the Chassam Sofer. Because the Shach just says they made them going even Lekulei. Then, there's a Machlokas, what's Pshat in the Shach? Some people say, based on the Tosfos and Daf Beis Zayin and Aleph, that Chacham could be ochre things from the Torah, sometimes. Other people want to say, that means they l'mafreya decided that since we see what's going on with them, we l'mafreya invalidate their conversion and say they were Geri Arayas, which is, makes you believe Rav Sherbach nowadays. After hundreds of years, they can go back and invalidate their Geris. All right, so that's a big machlok. The Chassam Sofer says, no, it's not a matter of any special powers to uproot the Torah. It's not a matter of the uproot of the Geirus Mafreya. It's a matter of they actually have control, they have bias over membership in the Jewish people. Okay, so that's one way to explain our sugya. Another way to explain our sugya is, I think possibly, yeah? That is a good ha'ara. But I said I'll be. So it's an interesting question about the Chassam Sofer might apply to Bezman Zeh Taka. That is an interesting ha'ara. However, so one end of the spectrum is that really, whatever you do, you can't become a guy. Just Beis Din can either make you look like a guy a little, or maybe Beis Din can really make you a guy. Of course, the other side of the coin is that no, maybe a mummer really does become like a guy. Who holds that a mummer really does become like a guy? Hashem agadu ki bar gadim zarim yaladu. A minority opinion. As a matter of fact, I quoted everyone among the Rishonim here. Right? There's only three places in the Rishonim, and most of them are anonymous. Right? The Itter I have, the Torah quotes here, right? Yisrael Momer Shekidish Kedushin Kedushin Shuvim Haget V'Yeishon Merim Demor Melachal Shazer Hetzuv La'avon Akum Dino Ka'akum Gomer Ekedush Kedushin Lo Ne'ira. He rejected it. He goes to Yeishon Merim that a Momer to Melachal Shabbos or to worship idols is like a guy in the Kedushin Mar Tofli. So Momer Mamish loses Judaism. He gets this Yishol Melechor from the Yetzer, which is Xeroxed here. It says, Meragacholitz, Versina, Gershachon, Yisrael, Lover, Lamayna, Minish, and Kiddush, Kiddush, and Kiddush. Midgamer, Kiddush, and Kiddush, and Lokamar, Choshishin, Shema, Minam, the rights of Topsi, Kiddush. Sounds like even a mummer, his Kiddush are valid. Help, so now, Nami, Gitta, he's getting good to the Kaddish together, to Rabbanu, to the Kaddish, enough, the Kami, Yvam, Achalus, Law, Dalfi, Shachata, Yisrael, Mubichuli. Kiddush, Sims, and Hedge, and Chema, Tina, which was Rashi. Afili Yishmur Melchal Shabbos Osalov. Chuvas Kamai. He doesn't. We don't know who it is. Chuvas Kamai, an old Chuv that he found. Mishum Nechil Shabbos Einuch Yisroel. And not only if you become a guy, even if you're just Melchal Shabbos, you lose your Judaism. That's a big chiddush, right? Shneimar Bimiyavim Bnei Yisroel Osili Olam Etc. Kol Mishaber Nechir Yisroel. If you keep Shabbos, you're a Jew. If you don't keep Shabbos, you're a guy. So not only if you worship idols and become and assimilate, even if you don't keep Shabbos, you become a guy. The time the Kabbalah Korban is proposed to Israel, Tanan min Amorli Yayin Esel Kal Shabbos for Hesia. Right, we see that even though we take Korbanos from Post Israel, not from Amorli Abrazar and Kol Shabbos. Hilgah Bechal Shabbos for Hesia, Akmu the Kiddush of Bab Kiddushin. That's a big Kiddush. And Amor is the Yesh Omer. We don't know who it is. Right? But this is the minority opinion. The Yesh Omerim in the Iter and the Tor. A mummer is not a Jew. A mummer is not a Jew. A mummer stops being a Jew. So he loses his Judaism. He becomes like a good gomer.
Is he talking just about a gear? Well, he starts out talking about gears.
No, that's because he started thinking more Daphim Zion. And of course that's why the Iter himself doesn't hold like this Jew is Kabbalah, because of this Gemara Daphim Zion. But here he's talking about a regular Jew. Now, the Marashdam is very bothered by Marashtam is very bothered. What about the Gemara Daphim Zayin of Beis? So how did Marashtam answer the Gemara Daphim Zayin of Beis according to the Yishomrim? Yeah, it's very minority Yishomrim. And we'll see, we'll add one person. But still, so far we have the Torah quoting Yishomrim. Who doesn't count as anything? Because he's just quoting the Iter counts. Quoting Yishomrim. So it's a Chubas Kamai in the Iter, which the Torah also quotes to tell you we don't hold like it. What does he do with the Gemara? Doesn't the Gemara say Yisrael Momer, you are Choshes looking to Shush? How does he get out of that Gemara?
That was just a chumrah.
What?
That was just that wasn't all he did. That was a chumrah. Then you have to be kosher for the kiddushin.
No, he just said you don't have to be kosher for kiddushin at all. He just says kiddush love kiddushin. She can remarry that again. So the Marishdam is nidchak a little, and he says here it's and the part I zirax the yeshom doesn't say. As a matter of fact, the Iter and the Tor know this Gemara Daphim Zayin, and that's why they don't like the yeshom from the Chorah. But the Marashtam answers that here he's a little dachimimar, e hadarbe. What does it mean hadarbe changed his mind? It doesn't mean he changed his mind and comes to Machal Shabbos at Obed Ozara. It means he changed his mind about being so frum. What it means here is the case is mummer lishar abelos. Not Avodah Zarah and Shabbos. See, the Gemara Daphim Zayin doesn't mean he changes his mind and becomes a guy here and goes back to church. It means he changed his mind, decided, you know, I don't really want to eat kosher. I don't really want to, you know, have to keep all these rules. But he still keeps Shabbos. He still doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. It means just a regular mummer. A regular mummer is a guy who decides to not keep some of the mitzvos. Decides to exempt himself from, you know, he can exempt himself from 611 of the mitzvos. Right? And that's what it means in Daphim Zayin. It means a mummer for part of the Torah. But if he's a total mummer, then in a Hanami, he would be kicked out of the Jewish people. That is a little bit of dachuk. But that's how he answers off the Yesh Omer. The Mordechai in the back of our Gemara, it's not technically the Mordechai, it's the Hagos Mordechai. Hagos Mordechai just means that, you know, the Mordechai is one of these Torah that people sometimes added to over the generations. Oh, I don't know if I know how to find the Mordechai in this. Form Gemara. Anyone have an Ozer Hadar can tell me where the Mordechai is? Oh, here it is, I found it. So after the Mordechai finishes every Masechet, they write Hagos Mordechai, which is, you know, things that were added to the Mordechai. Then they started to get the Masechet. So here in Simon Kof Zion, the Hagos Mordechai is a big discussion about the Yava, who is a Lomer. And one of the people he quotes here is Rabbeinu Shimshon, whom throws in a line. Here we are. The Rabbi Shimshon says it's usher to lend money to a mummer of a ribbis because of the Iver, even though he's not your brother, and then he won't say this proves a mummer is not your brother, but he says, the kolchin mun l'chob is vanazeh, that mun l'chol Torah kula. That's not a mummer who just is a Russian and doesn't keep part of the Torah. Right? That's not a ribbis yet. He says, oh, mummer who's like, what are you, always he's tracing whatever, there, like, you shouldn't lift the Iver on him, but you don't consider him a brother. He says, kolchin, but for sure, talking about mummer is not a zeh, a guy who gets baptized is not a zeh, he abandoned the whole Torah. He's not just a mummer. He's someone who abandoned the Torah entirely. Kolshkin, a mummer who comes on a zeh, a mummer who calls Torah kula, the garden of mummers over Echa Lahachas, much worse than someone who does one of your Lahachas. Umashi, Kedushin, Kedushin. Why is a mummer Kedushin, Kedushin even? Zeh, Chomer, Bialma. It's only a Chomer, Bialma, Yichoshur is Kedushin. The Hachinami Amri in Ha'omra, Menashe Nitzan, the government Kudeshes, Chashina Shemahira, Chuva, Believo. Hachinami, Shekidish, Chashina Shemahira, Haishaita, Chuva, Velinima, Hachinam Zeh. He wants to say, first of all, he wants to say, even for a regular moment, Ludover Echad Lahachis, he's not called your brother, once he's not your brother, it's not Kishu Achin, and you don't need, you don't need Chalitza. But he says, for sure, the people who are baptized in our days, they've abandoned the whole Torah. If you abandon the whole Torah, your Kedushin aren't Kedushin. How does he know that? He doesn't say, obviously, from our part of Zion, right? If you abandon the whole Torah, your Kedushin aren't Kedushin. Right? Why did he say that from Zion, the Kedushin aren't Kedushin? Now there's no Chumrah. They thought maybe he changed his mind and did Tshuva, because after all, we know the Gemara in Mishnah Kedushin says, the guy said, Menashe Nitzan, Gomer, maybe he was here at Tshuva Belivo. That's just a Chshah, Chumrah B'Yam of Shema here at Tshuva Belivo. There he says, but in Yibam, you know, the moment that the brother, the Jewish brother died, the baptized brother didn't even realize the brother died yet, he's not been here for an hour, why would he do tshuva all of a sudden? So then you have no problem with no Zika. So I think what Ravina Shimshon says is, let's just Ravina Shimshon. And if Shimshon says in the Mordechai also, a total mummer, right, what does he say? If someone's a total mummer, then their kedushin are not valid. He says, no, if you're a total mummer, then I'm going gomorrah. A total mummer is going gomorrah. A total mummer is a guy. Oh, why do we say here, how does he answer the Gemara of Zion? Says, and if Shimshon answers, that's just a chumrah bi'alma. That's just a, it doesn't mean kedushin, kedushin mamish. That's just a chumrah bi'alma of shema, hir, tshuva belibo. But they don't worry about that in our sugya. By the way, they didn't make that chumrah bi'alma. The chumrah bi'alma is a guy who like converts and then flip-flops and keeps changing his mind. You think maybe he's going to keep flip-flopping and you never know if he's mahar or belibo. He's obviously a flip-flopper. But generally, so sometimes we have a chash, but by the Yisrael HaShvat, they wouldn't make this Chomer B'Yalma share here too. Believe us, and they didn't go into word. So here we see that Rabbi Shimshon, the other Makor, that even though Rabbi Shimshon is the other, seemingly the only person who's willing to put his name on the idea that a mummer, really, really, you're not kosher with Kedusha, really, really, we kick him out of the Jewish people and don't worry about his Kedushin. Even though he says, in a case nowadays, we'd have a Chomer B'Yalma that maybe, you know, he flip-flops back.
Here be Tshuva can make a Rasha to a Tzadik. Here be Tshuva can make a Goy to a Jew.
Aha, so that's an interesting question. So he seems to assume, here's the tricky part, he seems to assume the idea that a Mummer, this is the interesting part, the idea that a Mummer becomes like a Goy is not permanent. But since he became like a guy because of his actions, he could come back also because of his actions, even without Mila Tvila, perhaps. That's what it seems. This, by the way, is a big issue in the middle in the old days, right? The minhag is that if a guy gets baptized and comes back, we require Tvila. But an interesting question of why we require Tvila. So if he magish Hashem Bagadik and Zarmi Lodi became a guy, it makes a lot of sense why he required Tvila, because he needs to be a guy.
Yeah.
If you assume like the road post and that no, you can never become a guy, you have to say the requirement of tefillah is just a minhag bi'alma to show that he's really going to be serious from now on and really wants to do tshuva.
Where was that? What's the source of that tefillah?
Nobody knows. It's a minhag for over 1,000 years.
It's a
So where does it appear like?
It definitely comes up someplace in the first one.
I mean, it just said that.
It's not in the Gemara. It's an older Rishon.
What would be the? How much is it mechayev?
So they all say the minhag is to do this and try to figure out why. Apparently, it's a minhag. Although, according to this Yishomer, maybe it would be more than a minhag.
You never know.
Right. Although you could say since the original meal was lashma, maybe it's still good. But anyway, Rabbi Shimshon apparently doesn't think it needs to be left. That's the.
This might be ridiculous, but is it possible that the chiddush in the sugya is that the kabbalas mitzvos of a ger is stronger at the cap that he can't go back than a Jew who's born a Jew?
That would be a big chiddush. No, that wouldn't work. Look at the lashon over there. It says he is now considered a yisrael mummer, and therefore his kedushin are valid. So it sounds like they're comparing him to a regular yisrael mummer.
Yeah, but there's a chiddush.
That would be a big chiddush. I don't know. That would be might be too big of a chiddush for me. I hear the taina, but I'm not.
There are places in Chazal where Gerim are considered like on a higher diary than the rest of Am Yisrael.
Right, but that's a big chiddush. I'm not sure. I'm a little bit suffering about that. However, here we have two radical ideas. Either assimilating mummer doesn't change your being Jewish, only takana does. Or it shortchanges you being Jewish. That's very radical, and you have to have some dachuk pshat, not mimzayim. There are some possible in between pshat in here to be mechalik being arkeis in that case. Yomi's definitely possible, although it's a little radical for me. Anyone want to be mechalik? What maybe is the difference between the case in daf yudzayim and daf mimzayim? Based on the Meiri, what might you say? What does the Meiri add to the mummer by Anar Sugya? Does he just say he's a mummer, or does he add something else? What does the Meiri say? What does he add to just saying he's a mummer? He adds an important word. No? Says the Meiri, which I think could explain something, and some of the Achronim pick up on. Says the Meiri by us, he says, first of all, he goes through the first Lashon of Shmuel, and then he says, and even besides that, right? He says, V'lo od el shagabol ha shabiyadim shagol osim shi nitamu ben nitamu legamri anashim anashim atshabeshi nevozud arsam going to worm shalo yosim b'chalad lim yisrael klal.
Says,
what happened to them? The women, everyone were nitamu legamri. What does nitamu mean? With an ayin? Close.
Assimilated.
They became totally assimilated. As for the Meiri, what happened to Afyud Zion? It wasn't just that they weren't from. It's that they totally assimilated. And that's what he says. And some people think even nowadays the Jews who get baptized are totally assimilate. You know, but the Meiri, it's not. I think it's pretty clear. It's not the mummer that made them non-Jews. It's not their rishos that made them non-Jews. It's not that they didn't care about Hashem and they worshiped the idols that made them non-Jews. They were Chal Shabbat that made them non-Jews. It's they were nitam l'gamre. They assimilated into the Goyish nation. For the Meiri, it's not a matter of I don't think it's a matter of just your observance. Their observance was in such a low level, suffered so much that they became goyim. No amount of rishas can make you a goyim. No amount of bazaar can make you a goyim. But what can make you a goyim? What did our Rishon Rishon used to call it? Right, back on the ground. If you assimilate into the goyim, you become a goyim. If you assimilate into the goyish nations, then you become a goyim. In what if you're going to have, Jews for Jesus? I think the Meir would say no. They would never be Goyim Gemurim. Why? Because they're still Jews. They're just Jews who worship idols. I mean, what about all the Jews in the Tanakh, right? Remember all the stories? Right? I mean, again, this is one of these things where you wouldn't get this from all the children's books, etc. But in the Tanakh, they're all such a high madriga, b'chuli b'chuli. You know, Tanakh, most of the years, they were all over there in Mazar. Right? You know, look at what Eliyahu complains about, etc. They were all over there in Mazar. Did they become like Goyim Gemurim? No, because they were Jewish over there in Mazar. Right? They were Jewish Obey Vodazara. Jewish Obey Vodazara are, there is a word for them. It's called Rishayim. But there's a difference between Yisrael Mumar. That's called Yisrael Mumar. A Yisrael Mumar is a Jewish Obey Vodazara. And that's what they, you know, they had their Jewish idols, and they had their Jewish ways of worshiping Baal and Ashtarot, etc., etc. You know, but they were Jewish. You know, that is, you know, our ancestors in Mitzrayim, right? Right? They were the 49th Shari Tova, right? And they, on the 49th Shara of Toma,
And they were, right? Halalo of the Zohar, Halalo of the Zohar, said the Malachim, the Bet Shalmala at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. But Loshim Shemam and Shmosek and Loshonam and Levusham, right? They were Jewish over there, Vodazara. I mean, they were clearly not assimilated in that case. Right? So I think what the Me'iri is saying here is taking a different, it's not a matter of mor. For the Me'iri, it's a matter of, yes, you can lose your Judaism, but not by betraying your standards of observance, but by betraying your membership in the Jewish people by assimilating, becoming the guy. The Jew assimilates into the guy, now all of a sudden you have a theory. Ah, you know, I think all these people in this shtetl and rural Spain are all crypto Jews and descendants of Moranos and etc., etc. But if you assimilate into the Goyim, then it doesn't matter. Then you become Goyim. And I think for the Me'iri, it might be easier to explain the difference between the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin and Mem Zayin. This the Me'iri doesn't say, but some of the Achronim say based on the Me'iri. Then Avram Zayin is someone the guy doesn't assimilate into the Goyim. He just decides he doesn't want to be from anymore. Yeah, if the guy doesn't want to be firm anymore, that doesn't, he's Yisrael Mamar. Hadarbe, what does Hadarbe mean? Hadarbe means the guy converted and says, now I'm Jewish and I'm people of the mitzvahs, and after a week he says, no way, this is too hard for me. I like my idols better. And Kiddush is still Kiddush, he's still part of the Jewish people. If he goes back and assimilates back into his home family, that would be a different story. That would be Yisrael HaShvatim. The Yisrael HaShvatim were going Gemurim, not because they violated the Torah, but because they assimilated into and became, you know, whatever nationality became, Kutim, I guess, right? They became Kutim and Mudim and et cetera, et cetera. They're like nowadays, you know, there's, I don't know, there were Jewish communities, their countries had Jewish communities where they assimilated in and just became part of the host country. Those people, they're Goyim Gemurim, because Lamaisa, they assimilated into the Goyim. Even nowadays, even if someone, I don't mean, let's say someone didn't assimilate so well. If you wanted to, you could do a look through the historical records and find them. That's the only Tamil Gamre. If you have to go to research to figure out that their grandmother was Jewish, that's the Tamil Gamre. The Me'iri would say those people have lost their Judaism. But just rishus, just being a mummer, that doesn't lose your Judaism. It's joining another nation that makes you lose your Judaism. And I think that could be a third shot in the Me'iri. The Me'iri doesn't say it to answer up the Gemara. But based on the Me'iri, I think you could answer the Gemara that this is talking about Nitam'u Ligamrei. This is talking about someone who assimilates in. And then he says that mitzvahs are mostly saying nowadays the Jews who are baptized also assimilate in totally. And, you know, you would never guess that they were Jewish unless you happened to have, you know where they came from and been there at the time. But, you know, you wouldn't guess on your own that they were Jewish. As opposed to, maybe you could say, Shemayri. That's talking about Lomit Mandamanagai. That's something that decides to be a non-firm Jew. And a non-firm Jew is still a Jew. Only someone who assimilates into the Goyim is not a Jew. It's your peoplehood that affects who you are, not your religious status. This is a very fascinating question. How important does the halakha consider being part of the Jewish people over and above how much of the Torah you keep, right? So a lot of people now, they say, Jewish people, right? Either you keep the Torah or you don't keep the Torah. Otherwise, what's the difference between, Chinese villagers who worship Avodah Zarah and Jews who worship Avodah Zarah? What's the difference between nice Europeans who don't believe in anything and don't keep anything and Jews who don't believe anything and don't keep anything? But the answer might be that no, the difference is, being part of the Jewish people. If you're part of the Jewish people, then you're a Russia, but you're a Jewish Russia. If you assimilate into the Goyim, then you're not a Jew anymore.
Could you define, could say, if a person, hey, you ask him, are you Jewish or not Jewish? If he says, I'm not Jewish, then he's not. Because that would fit in a lot with what goes on today.
It could very well be.
This was the original criticism of the Zionist movement, that they were creating a new definition of what a Jew. A Jew was someone who was Am Hashem. Now there was called Am Atzioni, the prayer doctor. This is a new definition for the Jewish people. We never had that.
Right. The question is that really true? is it really a new definition? Or maybe that was always the definition. That's the whole question. How about in the time of the, Sefer Melachim, when they all worshiped idols, right? Remember what Eliyahu said, right? There are a few crazy Kadnaim left who still believed in, like, not worshiping Baal and all these other ridiculous old-fashioned ideas. But all normal people know that Jews worship Baal the same as Goyim. Just we worship Baal and both of us, Reuben and Shimon, and, you know, like Hanukkah candles under the Christmas tree. And they worship Baal and call themselves something else. So what made them Jewish? Maybe what made them Jewish is they're part of the Jewish people.
But they never define Avodas Baal as Judaism.
There's a Medrash that says that the Goyim would say, oh, that's a Jewish idol. The Medrash that says that the Jews sunk to a level that the Goyim said, oh, that's a Jewish idol. Yesh harbei malayim. Okay, so that depends on the circumstances. In some circumstances, there might have been a lot of syncretism. So that could be way
that Aaron can defend with my time.
Just one, yeah.
Just one suggestion.
By the way, there's such an obvious difference between the sugyas that no one said yet. That Mari Ibn Chaviv says.
An individual. That's what I was going to say.
What?
That the Yafa Christian Seaboard. I don't know, the fact that in other sugyas, one guy on his own can perhaps, he can say whatever he wants, but really he's supposed to be, but the whole community of Jewish people decides that they're no longer going to be Jewish, then that could have more of an effect.
And that would explain the Kutum also.
Exactly.
That's an interesting idea. That's not the Mari Ibn Chaviv. But that is definitely an interesting possibility that you could say. I don't have a marker for that, but maybe the difference between a yachid and a tzibur, a not the all of Klal Yisrael, but a tzibur. A yachid, he's still a Jew. He can do whatever he wants. He's still shy to the Jewish people. If a whole bunch of Jews assimilate or go to another religion or etc., then, if a whole shevet, let's say, then, no, they've really defined, they have the right to define their people, a tzibur can define their peoplehood. A yachid, is still stuck as part of the rabbin. The Mari Ibn Chaviv gives another interesting answer, based on, he's quoted in the Mizrahi and in this Marashtam, and the Marashtam actually thinks, Rav Rishonim agree with Mari Ibn Chaviv, although his views are far from strong. But we'll end with that. The Mari Ibn Chaviv says, what did the Pasuk say? Who did the Pasuk say in Daf Yud Zayin are not Jewish? Banim Zarim Yoladim, right? Said, who's not Jewish? He said, Daf Yud Zayin? The Banim. We've been talking here about the Banim, right? So he says, very Pashut. It doesn't mean the people in Eretz Yisrael were exiled or not Jewish. No, they're Jewish forever. It means the kids they have are not Jewish. That's the answer to this theorem. He says, a Jew is a Jew forever. A Jew can never stop being a Jew. Chosh in the Kedusha, no matter what he does. But that's him. He's not a Zar. But ki bonim zarim yaladu. He's Bashem Bagadu. He is a Jew. What does he have to be bogate? A guy can't be bogate in Hashem. He never promised Hashem anything. A guy can be a Rosh if he worships idols. But it's not Begida. Well, you wouldn't call a guy a traitor for worshiping idols. Traitor means you made a deal and backed out on your partner. Right? The guy are stupid for worshiping idols. But a Jew is a traitor for worshiping idols because he has a deal with Hashem, and Hashem's his partner. He's stabbing his partner in the back. So, Bashem Agadu, they themselves are bogdim. They're Jewish bogdim. He bought him Zarm Yaladu, but their kids are goyim. So maybe a Jew is a Jew forever, but the child of a mummer is a guy. And then there's no steer at all. Talavi Allah, if a guy converts, he's 13 years old and he lives another 107 years, he converts for 1 minute he's from, and for the next 107 years he's a guy again. Too bad, he's a Jew forever. Once you're a Jew, you're a Jew forever. However, if you have kids when you're a mummer, that's a different thing. To pass on your Judaism is a different story. Only a Jew who acts like a Jew has Jewish kids. A Jew who doesn't act like a Jew has goyish kids. And that's Asom Goyim Gemurim. What do you mean Asom Goyim Gemurim? The people who were exiled from the Shomron were not made into Goyim Gemurim.
But the kids they have, when they intermarried or didn't intermarry or whatever they did, the kids they had back in those cities of Halach and Chavor and Argoz and Orei Madai, those kids are Goyim Gemurim. Because
even if the mother's Jewish?
Sure. Even if the father and mother are both Jewish, if the father and mother are both assimilated, idol worshipping Jews, if the father and mother are both baptized Jews, then the kids are not Jewish at all. And this would be a very fascinating afkamina. Marashtam thinks most posts can hold that way. And, he had a really crazy case. He was trying to find a kula for someone who had Kiddushin from, Anusim in front of Edom Anusim and trying to figure out, how to passle that Kiddushin for some reason. But he actually thinks we should pass this way, the Mari Ibn Chavim and the Marashtam, that we should take this very, very seriously. That, no matter what happens, a person is Jewish, always Jewish, right? But their kids are goyim. You can't resign your membership in the Jewish people, but you only pass on the membership in the Jewish people if you're connected to Judaism. Otherwise, your kids are goyim.
So the kids of a valid kiddushin even would be goyim?
I think so. Let's say, a guy makes a valid kiddushin to a girl, and then after a few months, they decide, let's try a new lifestyle, and they move to Saudi Arabia and become good Muslims and assimilate into everyone else and etc. And then someday someone discovers that their kid is really from, these two nice Jewish families. It doesn't matter. If they had the kid after they were shmatted, then the kid wouldn't be Jewish.
It's the opposite of
Tzion
Shnishma. Isn't that the whole thing Ram talks about that? They have children, so they're not going. Their children are Tzion Shnishma.
No, but the Rambam's talking about that, about the Karaites and about the Tzedukim, theoretically. Yeah, what the Karaites, the question is that they have heretical beliefs. They're not, they didn't reject the whole Torah, right? But what if you had a Tinuk Shanishma Lubain Ha'akom Mamish, and then grew up as Akom Mamish and had a kid in the church, etc.? Then the Mari Ibn Chavim would say, that's different, that kid is not Jewish. But the Karaites' kids are Jewish, because they were just a matter of being a Russia. They're just Rishon Jews. They're not over there Avodah Zarah.
Can you make the same spin on Christianity that you made on terrorism?
I mean, that becomes...
Old Testament, but we have extra stuff.
Okay, that is a very, very fascinating question. And if you look at peoplehood, then the difference is obvious. It's an interesting question, but maybe you draw the line out of Avodah Zarah. In which case, it might depend what kind of Christianity you practice, right? Or maybe you draw the line at, you'd have to have some peoplehood, are you with people who are mostly Jewish or not? But that's a good question. Okay, this is a lot of very interesting discussion here. Halach l'maisa, though, clearly most folks can hold a mummer is a Jew forever, and choshen l'kiddusha, and this was a special takana they made. However, whatever power they had to make the takana, not even like the Me'iri and Lachor, not like Mari Ibn Chaviv, and that's the way we normally assume. However, there are significant other possibilities. Okay, just to run through the end of the parak. Yosef Achor Rav Kahana, Yosef Rav Kahana, Kamid Rav Yehuda, Yosef Kamar Asini Shalda of the Yom Tov Yikori Tarmud. When Tarmud is assured, the Jews will make a yantiv because they're all mamzerim there. How Tamid Havi? It was Tamid that was Chariv, but Tarmud is still going strong. Rashi and Rahayim Tarmud and Tamid. No, they're really two words of the same place. Echpulu to Machpul, but there's two sides of it. Chariv mehagis os mehagis avi. Chariv mehagis os mehagis. So yeah, Tarmud was destroyed. But there are two sides. One side was destroyed. They moved to the other side. The other side was destroyed. They moved to the first side. But if they really be destroyed, then the Jews will make a yontif. Yosef from the new coming to Ulu Kahavi Shmeitza Amar. Magavri loved our Panya Masay. Rav Hamnuna was learning in front of Ula, and Ula was so impressed. He says, "Oh, what a gadol he would be! He would be so chashiv, not the fact that from our Panya where they all have puzzle yichus." Ichsef, Rav Hamnuna was embarrassed. Amrle, so Rav Ula felt bad and tried to see if he could put a more charitable spin on it. Kasev gugatul hechiyavet. Where do you pay your head tax? Amrle with Pumnara. Oh, my family, we pay tax to Pumnara, which shows that they really came from Pumnara, not from her Panya in the old days. And the only thing you remember from that is where they pay the head tax. Amalim came from Narat. Then you're from Narat and you have good yichus and you don't have to feel bad. My herpanya. Why do they call it herpanya? Zira har shakol ponimbo. It's on a har. Apparently, it was on a har that everyone goes there who can't get a shidduch anywhere else because that's the place all the psulim go. Amar Zira. Mastisis on a kol shein makar mishpachtav shifto niflasham. Whoever doesn't know their yichus, goes there and anyone marries anyone and they're all mamzerim. Amar Rav Yamuka Mishol says it is deeper than hell. Not literally, it was on a har, but it means it's worse that being a mamzer is more chummer than going to Gehenim. Shenerim Yachol of Deim of Zegolim. Hashem says, I'll save you from Gehenim. You can get out of Gehenim, but you can't get out of being a mamzer. Vilup Suludu, Lesl Takanta. Psulud Yerpanya Mishim Suludu. Meshan, Psulud Yemeshim Mishim Suludu. Tarmud, really all the Psulim and Arpanya came from Meshan, and all the Psulim Meshan came from Tarmud. Psulud Tarmud Shem Abdi Shalom, and all the Psulim Tarmud came from Holy, like the first lashon before of Avdei Shlomo. Behind you, Dabri Inshi, and that's what people say. They make a mashal. Kaba Rav v'Kabazuta Min Gada Mignedar v'Ozel L'Shol M'Shol Tarmin Tarmin L'Meishim M'Meishim L'Arpanya. That the big measuring bowl and the small measuring bowl, meaning all the psulim from beginning to the to the end, all the puzzle people, they go down to Gehenim and from there to Tarmud. Doesn't mean it literally, just means it's worse than Gehenim. And from Tarma to Meshon, and from Meshon to Arpanya, and that's where all the Mamzerim, ended up in those days. Okay, there's a lot more to say about Mamzerim, et cetera, but I want to save us some time for the second parak. So Mirz Hashem will pick up on today's Thursday and Monday with the beginning of the second parak, the Indian of Eish Zachar Shlo Hayu Ba'olamo. I have some Makoros here. I didn't get to finish them, but I have, you know, the first half of Makoros here, so just take a copy and then I'll email the rest. Amir Tzashem. Hadrin Olach, Chamesh Esri Kashim.